Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. If you got your Bibles, open up to Isaiah 54. Isaiah 54, and I'll be there in just a few minutes. It was just about 13 and a half years ago to the day that Cindy and I had come down to Kerrville to find a home. And we had accepted the invitation to become the pastor here at Impact. And for a variety of reasons, which I can't exactly remember, for some reason, we had a three-day window. Well, I know that, but I mean, we had a three-day window that it was, she was talking about her grandmother dying at the funeral, but was that before or after? See, if you want the whole story, if you want the real story, I mean, you have to go to the source, right? But we had a three-day window to come look for a new home, and it was one of those, the eternal optimist in me thinking, if we can make it, we can find it in these 3 days, and we can be here the 1st of August, and our kids can be in school, and all those different kind of things. And it was really kind of a crazy plan, not very realistic to begin with. And 2 days into looking for houses, it seemed even less realistic. We had looked at a variety of houses, and we were looking for a four-bedroom home. We had five kids, and looking for a four-bedroom home. Those were a little harder to find in Kerrville, and it seemed like every house that we looked at in those first 2 days, they had a common theme: fixer-uppers. And Cindy's really good with interior design and stuff like that, but I got absolutely no fixer-upper in me. That's just not part of my makeup, and so that just didn't seem like the thing to do. And truthfully, we also didn't feel like, with what was going on with our family, the homeschooling we were doing, getting the kids in school, those kind of things, and what the work here at Impact, that we would have time, that would be the right thing to do to move our family into a home that we were having to be working on all the time like that. So on the morning of the third day, as I woke up that morning, I just had a very strong impression from the Lord to think bigger, to think bigger. And then it was reading in the Word that morning, the way I was reading that day, I ended up reading in Isaiah 54. And a couple of those verses we're going to look at here in just a few minutes. But as I read those verses, and the verse I'll share with you this morning, it affirmed to me this whole impression about thinking bigger. So we had another conversation with our banker that resulted in us being able to adjust our price range up just a little bit. And that opened up three new options to look at, one of which we live in today. It was a crazy plan to find a house in 3 days. But God. And as we start a new calendar year, I really believe, as the word was already spoken here, God is on the move. I wrote in my notes, can you feel it? Have you sensed it? I think the answer to that, yes, we were even feeling that this morning. There's something fresh happening in the spirit realm. There's a fresh wind blowing, and there's a clarion call that's been issued to dream big, to dream bold, and to dream daring for ourselves, for our family, and for our nation. As we begin 2017, I want to encourage us all to think bigger. Don't let any of the failures or the setbacks or the lack of 2016 or before define the future of what's ahead of us in 2017. Don't let things from the past keep you held there so that you can't step into what God has in store for us as we start this new year. I believe it's a time to think again. I believe it's a time to increase our price range, to think differently about what you believe that you can afford. In my life, I've found over and over again that God loves to make a way where there seems to be no way. And I've also found that his provision is often revealed after we step out or after we step up in faith. When we came down here to look for that house, houses are a little more expensive in Kerrville than they are in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And that kind of threw us for a loop a little bit. And we got looking at that, but then we just went right to the very top of what we could even consider affording, even though it seemed like too much. But God has made the way, and God has provided. I remember another time the car that I was driving was a Dodge Spirit. And for a variety of reasons, we traded out, and I'd got this car, and it was an in-between kind of car. I knew it was rightly named Spirit, because when you sat in idle at the light, you'd be shaking. And you could just feel the power of the Spirit. I know the car was just shaking. And so I'm driving around in that car. I obviously need a different car. We need another car. But financially, it just didn't seem like it was possible. And so one particular day, we're going from the south side of Fort Worth we lived at over to the west side of Fort Worth. And we were going to an indoor soccer game. And on the way there, about two-thirds of the way there, the car stopped out in the middle of nowhere. And fortunately, I don't know how, it started again. And then we made it up to the top of this hill and turned down the road where the soccer arena was. And as we turned down the hill, the car stopped again. But we coasted the whole mile down into the soccer place. And that car never started again. That was the end of that car. But at the dealership close to our house, just so happened, they were having a push, pull, whatever you can do, we'll give you $2,000 and we'll purchase a new car and get you into a car. And so that ended up happening. And I bought a Chevy Lumina that I just drove the wheels off of and rode for a long time. But when I bought that car on Monday, what I didn't know is that on Tuesday when I got to work, they were going to tell me they were giving me a raise. But I'm just sharing that story to say, in the natural, I was not getting into a car because I didn't think that we could afford it. But at the same point, it wasn't just I wanted a new car to have a new car. We needed a new car. My little spirit was on its last legs. But I was locked in, and then finally I had to do it. But what I've seen is so many times that when we're just moving with God, His timing and His faithfulness and His provision comes after we take a step. We wait as long as we can, then you do what you got to do, and you step into it, and you find out there He is waiting to meet you in that place with His faithfulness and with His goodness. In fact, I felt like out of that experience, the Lord told me, said, don't ever do that again. Don't run a car all the way to where it doesn't run anymore. That's not my provision. I'm a better father for you than that. You can trust me. And when it gets down to that place where you need to do something, trust me and watch and see what I'll do. It's an important life lesson for me. But I've seen that thing happen that way with God over and over again. And at the start of a new calendar year, I think many people like to talk about New Year's resolutions. Now, I am not a fan of New Year's resolutions. And interestingly, in an email I received on Friday morning, I found out that Dr. Carolyn Leaf, do you know her who switched my brain on and off, an incredible Christian neurologist out of Dallas-Fort Worth area, she's not a fan of New Year's resolutions either. And so this is what she wrote. I don't believe in New Year's resolutions. I believe in lifelong resolutions. I believe in making lifelong resolutions that will move me in the direction of being able to successfully step into the excitement of living out my destiny. Living a lifelong resolutions, living in that state means I have to get my mind, my body, and my spirit moving in the right direction with good choices. So we use our mind, thinking and choosing to make this happen. What you think and what you choose will impact your mind, your body, and your spirit. With that in mind, let's look at Isaiah 54, verse 2. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. I think this verse describes a God-ordained expansion plan. This is the verse that jumped out to me that morning when I heard God say, think bigger. This verse gives some practical ways to think bigger. It calls us to engage our faith no matter what, no matter what's going on, to take a step of faith and to step into that place. It challenges us to move beyond our current circumstances and to not settle for status quo, to not settle for things as they are, to not settle for things as I have known them, to not settle for, well, that's the way it's always been, because there's something new at hand. For each and every one of us, without exception, there is more. There's more if we'll think bigger. Isaiah 54 starts by addressing a barren woman in verse 1. And Isaiah tells her to sing and to burst into song and to shout for joy because children are on the way. So many times as it relates to God's kingdom, responding with the opposite spirit is the key to stepping into something fresh and new. more so even in that day than it is in ours, a woman that had not borne children, there was a stigma related to it. There was a sense of lack and a sense of loss that was just so profound in that day. And so he speaks to her, and instead of saying, stay in that same mode of grieving and sad and mourning because you haven't had children, he offers her and challenges her to do something different. He tells her to sing. He tells her to burst into song. He tells her to shout for joy. That's an opposite spirit response. And in the kingdom, when we connect to that, everything in the natural seems like this is what we ought to be doing, but something in our spirit says, no, we're going to do this. And I want to say again, I don't think we can overemphasize how important worship and thankfulness is in our relationship with the Lord. How important it is for us to live that way with that perspective. Because when we choose to worship, it engages our heart with God's mercy and with God's grace and with God's love. When we choose to worship, when we choose to be expressively thankful in the way we live every day, it increases our ability to recognize God right in the middle of our lives. He's always there. He's always there, but sometimes because of our own grumbling and complaining, sometimes because we're just not thinking about things right, it feels like he's distant, it feels like he's unconcerned, it feels like he's not involved. That is always a lie. His eye is always upon us. He's always at work right in the middle of our lives. He never leaves us, never forsakes us, and never will. We are never alone. Never alone. But as we start practicing thankfulness, as we choose to worship, even in the face of what feels like loss or sadness, but we still choose to worship. In fact, many of the Psalms are written from that place. Many of the Psalms are written. You read the first half of the Psalm and it's like, what in the wide, wide world of sports is going on? And how did I get here? And where are you, God? And what's going on? And then about the middle of the Psalm, it goes, oh, there you are. Wow. See, worship can start from just the honesty of where you are. This is where I am. This is what I'm feeling. This is what I'm going through. But I know you're in the middle of this, God, and I know you're here. And I know there's something you want to see, to show me. There's something you want to teach me, something you want to reveal to me, and I'm going to find it because I'm fixing my heart to seek you, to seek your face, no matter what's going on. And we live like that. We start recognizing what God's doing more and more. Oh, there he is. He hides in plain sight. He hides in plain sight, but sometimes we just get too tunnel vision and we need to expand it out to see him. And worship and thankfulness expands out our vision. Thankfulness, I think, also has a unique ability to detox our mind and our spirit. Thankfulness displaces negativity and pessimism and discouragement, awakens optimism and hope, and thankfulness draws us near to God. So Isaiah 54:2 says, enlarge the place of your tent. The Hebrew word there, enlarge, means to broaden, to make room, to make wide. The word for place means the spot where you stand. It figuratively means a condition of your body or mind where you're positioned right now. And the word tent, it's a fun word. It means a big tent, clearly conspicuous from a distance. And so this same word for tent also can be translated tabernacle. In his second letter to the Corinthians, Paul referred to our bodies as the earthly tent we live in. He contrasted these bodies with a building from God, an eternal home in heaven that's not built with human hands. And he wrote that while we're living here in this earthly tent, we will groan. While we're living in this earthly tent, we will be burdened. While we're living in this earthly tent, we will feel a longing for what is mortal to be swallowed up by what is true eternal life. And then he wrote, but in the midst of all of that, it is God who has made us for this very purpose. And he's given us the Holy Spirit as a deposit guaranteeing what's to come. So live by faith, not by sight. And make it your goal to please the Lord. God has an expansion planned in mind for each of us. It's a multiplication. It's a swelling up that comes with joy. It's a place of hearts set free. And therein lies the secret of this phrase, enlarge the place of your tent. It sounds like something we should do for ourselves. But as you take the words apart and look into them, instead of being something we do for ourselves, it's actually something that God wants to do for us. The first time this word shows up, God says he is going to enlarge as we walk in obedience to him. This is a reward. This is a blessing for lining up our lives to live in accordance to his ways, to staying in step with his spirit. As we do that, we cannot stay the same. As we walk that way, God says, if you'll walk with me like that, I will enlarge the place of your tent. Faith comes by hearing. And right now, God is inviting all of us to hear this word over our lives. Enlarge the place of your tent. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. Can you hear his voice? I remind you that he seems to prefer a whisper. He seems to prefer a whisper in the midst of the cacophony of sounds and voices and thoughts that are in our head. But there's his voice, even this morning, saying, think bigger. Make room for an upgrade. Make room for a change that will be noticeable to everyone. Enlarge the place of your tent. And I remind you that faith is always an invitation to action. Faith without works is dead. So when we recognize God's call and his desire to enlarge the place of our tent, there are some things that we can do to join in on what God's doing, and they're given to us here in the rest of this verse. Verse 2, enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. That's the first thing. This kind of stretching is the picture of opening a curtain from the inside out. Now, when you're opening up a curtain like this that's down, one way that you can do it is you can grab a corner and you can pull it to the inside. And so you open it up by pulling it in. I want to tell you, though, that this kind of stretching, I don't think is a call for a guarded introspection. This kind of pulling the curtain from the inside and just peeking out to see what's out there. That's not, when God says enlarge the place of your tent, it's not like, well let me just peek here and see if I can see a little bit about what he's doing. Because basically, from that posture and that position and opening it that way, pulling in and from outside, pulling it in, keeps us in a pretty guarded place, like, because we don't, you know, you just let it go in a hurry and it's just covered right back up. That's not what this is talking about. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Instead, this is a demonstration of vulnerability. This happens the way this, if you're taking these words in, this is, we lean out of our space. We take hold of that curtain and we step out of where we're living now and we pin it up on the outside. And we take the other side and we pin it up on the outside. That's a completely different posture. We're opening up this way rather than pulling back in. You see the difference between that? So many times when we were looking for something fresh from the Lord, this posture of pulling in and staying guarded will end up missing what he wants. But what he's asking for instead, let's open it up and open wide like this. That's what this word describes. Stretch forth the curtains of your tent. It's completely different in posture, and that makes a big difference. When we open up like this, I think what we do is we're engaging ourselves in the possibility to experience new levels of intimacy. New levels of intimacy with other people and with God. Intimacy, I've heard that described, into me see. Again, completely different than pulling it on the inside and still being guarded. Opening up this way, we completely open up ourselves in a different direction to see and experience that intimacy. That's usually stretching for most of us. By instinct, we are self-protecting. So that idea to open ourselves up and make ourselves vulnerable is not a natural thing. But I'm telling you, God's Spirit loves it when we open up and we respond to him that way and open up our lives. Stretch out that way because it's essential for spiritual growth and maturity. Second, do not hold back. The King James says, spare not. The Hebrew phrase means do not restrain, refrain, or refuse. Preserve nothing. One of the things that I love to tell the worship team regularly is NHB, no holding back. Too many times we miss the fullness of what God has in mind and has prepared in advance for us to experience because of our own fears and our own timidity, because we don't give ourselves wholly to it. Instead of taking a big step into it, we just take a baby step into it. And it's our fear and it's our timidity that causes us to miss the fullness of what God has in mind. Actually, the fullness of what he's already prepared for us to know. 2 Timothy 1 says, fan into flame the gift of God, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. Do not hold back. That's the way Jesus told us to love God, with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. I think God loves it when we embrace a go-for-it mentality. I think that God thought of the phrase, just do it, a long time before Nike did and put it on a swoosh. It doesn't mean that when we step into something new, there won't be a little bit of fear and trepidation, but we don't allow that to keep us from moving forward. We step into that place that our spirit is calling us to, that place that God is leading us to. We don't hold back. Now, that does not mean that you just throw all caution to the wind. And it also doesn't mean that you don't give some serious thought and plans to things that you're doing. This isn't a call to just be willy-nilly spontaneous. Wisdom requires for us to consider the things and to consider the course and to consider the cost and look at all of that. But wisdom also will say, don't let your fear keep you from doing it. Don't let, well, I've never done it that way before, keep you from stepping into the next thing that has. Don't let your, oh, that's too big for me. Who am I to do such? Don't let that hinder you. Don't preserve any of that. Give all that you've got into what God is calling us to do. What it does is it calls us to press past our fears so that whatever we do, we work at it with all of our heart, working for the Lord, not working for people, since we know that we'll receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. Choices matter. What we do in our lives today has eternal ramifications. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. And lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. I think this lengthen and strengthen relates to redefining our territory. With stakes, you mark out a perimeter. And in that the first part of this says lengthen your cords, I want to tell you that the new place that God has in mind for us must be bigger. Because it does not say replace your current cords and reattach them to your current stakes. That's not what it says. It says lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes. We're going to need longer cords because God wants us to stake out a bigger place. A bigger place. When you look at this Hebrew word for lengthen, it also encourages us to make plans for a long life. In other words, think bigger and think long term. Make choices and decisions that you're going to be happy with tomorrow and the next day and the next day. It's not just a spontaneous, oh, how did I get myself into that? But it's like, nope, I've considered it. I see what God's told me. I'm stepping past my fears and I'm stepping into that new thing, into the direction God's called me. I see something in the future that I'm walking to. This is a long journey. I don't have to get it all right today. It's a marathon, but I'm going to make it to that finish line, and this is moving me that way. Lengthen your cords. That's what it's calling us to do with that mindset. The word for strengthen invites us to be strong and courageous. Both of these Hebrew words refer to causative actions. In other words, they are our responses to God causing us to be made longer. God causing us to be strengthened. The word for strengthening can also mean causing us to be cured, to be helped, to be repaired, and to be fortified. I love that. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Expand your perimeter. Strengthen your stakes. As we conclude this first week of the new year, we're going to share communion together. The elements of the Lord's Supper affirm to us the price that God paid for us to be enlarged. In the price that God paid for us, Jesus stretched out his arms for us and was nailed to the cross for our sins. He gave his life as an atoning sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. He did not hold back. And by his example, he invites us to live our lives in the same way, with the same attitude, and with the same abandon. I'm going to invite the worship team to come back up to the stage. We're going to sing a song together here in just a minute. As we finish, while they're coming and while we hold these fellowship cups in our hands, let's just quiet our hearts before the Lord and listen again. I want to encourage you to listen to hear his plan for expansion for your life, his plan for expansion for your family's life in the year ahead. Open up your heart. Pray as Jesus did. Father, not my will, but yours be done. And in the midst of that quiet time, feel the delight and the pleasure that the Father has in each one of us. Thank you, Lord. I thank you that you're a God that loves to do beyond what we can think or hope or imagine. I thank you for another year worth of good works that you prepared in advance for each one of us to do. That you've done the front work, that you've done the prep work. Thank you for your Spirit that will awaken and invite us to partner with you in seeing those things done in our lives, in the lives of our family, in the lives of our community. We thank you, Lord. We thank you that you delight in us as sons and daughters. We thank you that you've given us constant access to you through your Spirit. Thank you that you don't keep your distance from us, that you're never far away, that our prayers never just hit the ceiling and don't go beyond that, but that you hear. And the things that move us and touch us move and touch you. We thank you, Lord. You're a good God. So good in all that you do. Get that cup, peel back that first layer, remove the wafer. The wafer reminds us of Jesus' body. It was broken for us. It was given for us. So that we could be one with God again. Jesus chose not to hold back. With a word, he could have summoned legions of angels and not had to go through all that he went through on the cross. But instead, he allowed himself to be made a spectacle, to be marched through town, to the point of physical exhaustion where he could no longer carry the cross and someone had to be brought from the crowd to carry that beam of the cross the rest of the way for him. And then he stretched out and was stretched out and nailed to that cross and lifted up the perfect spotless lamb, the one who was tempted, tested, and tried in every way like we are, but never sinned. He paid that price for our sins. Break that wafer. His body was broken for us. And then given to us. And he said, whenever we eat this, eat it in remembrance of him. Now peel back that second layer. This is a reminder of his blood. His blood was shed for us. The righteous requirements of the law required that blood be sacrificed to atone for sin. And in Jesus' death on the cross, justice was fully served. But through Jesus' death on the cross, mercy won. Through Jesus' death on the cross, we don't get what we deserve. Because Jesus paid the price for us, because he shed his blood for us, we've been given access into a new covenant. Because Jesus shed his blood for us, we have access to the throne of grace. We can come there any time of the day or night and receive mercy and grace to help us in our time of need. Jesus said, this is the blood of a new covenant. And whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. I'm going to ask you to stand as we finish this morning. We're going to sing a song together this morning that reminds us that Jesus did give himself up for us. He really did die on that cross. But death could not hold him. And even now, he ever lives to intercede for us. And someday soon, he'll return. And the Spirit and the bride say, come, Lord Jesus, come.